Your attention, please. Please do not smoke in the terminal building. Smoking is only permitted in the specified smoking areas.
Attention, this is the final boarding call for passenger Mr. Flaky Blake Austin on flight Freddy Lake and Resilience to Perpignan, France. I repeat, this is the final boarding call for missing passenger Mr. Flaky Blake Austin. Please make your way immediately with your passport to gate incompetence. Also, the unattended sports baggage containing Mr. Gregory English's football boots is still unclaimed on the carousel. It has been going round and round for fucking weeks now. Thank you.
Coming up on the podcast, Warrington win with a magnifique performance, leaving Sam with egg all over his face following his Catalonian prediction. Madam Boyd returns with a new employee in her chippy. HMS HJ is pulled over for a customs inspection. Passports at the ready. We went to you for your vote on marquee player retention. And there's fails and the unexpected, or of the unexpected, or the unexpected, or whatever it's called. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, thanks for downloading. I'm Rob London. Yes, here to apologise following Wire's brilliant performance. But where are my two apologetic podcasters? So firstly, he's our very own Nervous Nelly. No doubt with an apocalyptic set of apologies, it's Sam, please forgive me, Sankey!
I am so sorry.
And also, this chap's never apologised in his life. Yes, a man that could even worm his way back through a black hole. Introducing Dennis... I was just tagging along way well.
All right.
Ah, well, what a week it's been, boys, eh? An absolutely brilliant win. I think the score was 38-28 in the end. My goal defence really didn't half play a good game, so I was really pleased with the netball win. But there was another win as well, boys, of course. So that was in the south of France against Catalans. Let's have a look at the team. It was Ashton, Thulis, Mamo, King, Charnley, Ratchford, Widdop, Hill, Daryl Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes and Davis kept his place at 13. On the interchange bench was Mulhern, Philbin, Jason Clark and Walker. Before we review, here's Edith with the highlights.
Non, je ne regrette rien, ni le bien.
That is a big player, Nick, to deny another goal line dropout. Is my theory right? A Warrington fittest out with
a lot of skill. Well, that's a mistake. Maloney picks it up, and that is an absolute strolling for James Maloney. The mistake from the Warrington Wolves, and it was a gift, a gimme.
Did the Dragons have the same defensive line speed?
Oh, here's Clark. Here is Clark this time. He is all the way through. He's got carry and support. And Daryl Clark does what Daryl Clark does best. And Ben Curry with the try. Spectacular stuff from Warrington.
Mes chagrins, mes plaisirs. Je n'ai plus besoin de...
Last one. They're going to run it. They're going to run it with... here is Mamo. Manages to get the ball back to Widdop. And Widdop does put the little kick over. And that is taken superbly by Toby King. Tompkins. Oh, intercepted. And Mamo could go the length here. Jake Mamo, whose try salvaged the point in the last second at Hull, is going to score a 90-yard interception for Warrington inside 2 minutes at the start of the second half. Ratchford again with the kick. Tap back into the arms of Widdop now. Widdop's got some space. Widdop could go on his own. Widdop! Ryan Witham with a classy bit of skill may just have won it for the Warrington Wolves.
Final score, Catalans 8, Warrington 24. Sam, whoa, what do you make of that?
An inspired choice of music to play there. For our younger listeners, that was Edith Piaf with Je ne regrette rien. Early 60s was that? Was that the original recording, Rob?
I have no idea, mate. Dennis, do you know any more about it than that? No. Are you awake, Dennis? Are you actually awake this morning? You just got this big grin on your face, but you're not actually talking this morning.
I'm struggling, I'll be honest. It's not the same when you're not drinking this podcast. Really, it takes me a few minutes to get into it, so let's crack on.
Well, I mean, Sam has kind of apologised there in the opening, but we have been flooded with emails, texts, smoke messages, all saying the same thing, that we really do need to apologise about the score and how we predicted it. So before we sort of look back at the game, let's just have a listen to last week's podcast and what we all said.
Well, as we know with Catalans away, it depends if you set off in at 4 o'clock in the morning or not. So I'll go with a narrow Catalans win.
Sam?
I've got to agree with that. I've got to go 24-16 to Catalans.
Your thoughts, Dennis?
I know we're critical, but, you know, I think Steve Price is a decent coach. I think he knows what he's doing. He'll get a big reaction out of the players this week. We'll go out to Catalan and write good stuff in. Make a few changes, possibly, like, you know, I don't know, leave Austin out and bring Ashton in. I think we could probably win about 24-8.
Yeah, I'm in line with you, Dennis. I think Price is doing a wonderful job, and I think we'll go to Catalan's. And just like you've said, I think we'll come away with a convincing victory. I'm probably going to say, oh, yeah, I'll go 24-8 as well. I think Mamo's been looking very dangerous. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't go the length. And Clark's just so quick out of that play of the ball. I think he'll get away and really contribute to a great Warrington win in France.
Well, I mean, there we have it, Dennis. You and I are in the clear on this. Mm. I mean, we absolutely nailed it. We don't normally do it, but we got it absolutely spot on. But Sam, you and Daniel, I mean, how are you feeling today, mate?
Integrity is dead, isn't it? For all those people producing podcasts.
Right, let's move on to the game then. For the first 24 minutes of the game, there wasn't any scores apart from one, and that came on the 10th minute when Catalans were given a penalty in front of the sticks. They decided to take the two with James Maloney with an easy kick to make it 2-0. My thoughts, Sam, on that first sort of 25 minutes, is that our right edge looks so much better. Catalans kept throwing the ball to the left, and by hook or by crook, somehow we managed to defend.
Yes, agree completely. We were under pressure, weren't we? Let's be fair. We were under a bit of pressure, and they threatened to break us open, but we scrambled well. And everybody was on the same wavelength.
Dennis, that right-hand edge, Ratchford not pedalling back, moving up. Mamo not only moving up, but actually coming out and walloping people in the line. And a bit later on, he gets the interception. And Thulis as keen as mustard on the wing. Mm. What a difference. Can any of us put a finger on what that difference was?
Well, if I was going to put my finger on something, I would say it's playing for places, wouldn't you?
Oh. Well, I mean, Thulis certainly got his passport in order. I mean, we should probably mention that. I mean, there was this sort of grey area. I think it was just a rumour that was thrown out on Twitter by one of the Warrington fans, and then all of a sudden that snowballed. We're still not quite sure what happened, Sam. I know that the club have come out and said it was a tactical decision, but I've spoken to a few journalists this week, and no one, I think, asked the direct question of, was his passport expired? It seemed to be, why did Blake Austin not play? And their answer was the fact that it was a tactical decision. They declined to answer the question when asked about the passport. What do you think, mate? What do you think it was, what the truth was?
I only know what I was told, and I was told on the Thursday afternoon that he'd been dropped and that Ratchford would play at six and Ashton would play at fullback. But I was told that from a person who, when he tells me he's right, 99 times out of 100.
Warrington surely had time between going, oh shit, his passport's expired, to saying, right, let's change that narrative to he's been dropped. I think the truth will come out this week. I think if he plays this week, I think there's more to this story than meets the eye. I think, I'm not sure he was dropped. It'll be intriguing to see. Dennis, your thoughts, mate?
Well, I'm going to cover this in Fails and Unexpected.
Oh, Jesus. OK, 25th minute, King coming away from Wye's own try line, and he throws a ridiculous ball to Curry. James Maloney picks it up to stroll in, with Josh Charnley seemingly not remotely interested in letting Maloney make his way towards the sticks to convert his own try. Dennis, was that the way you saw it?
I miss that.
Fucks. Sam, should you and I just carry on the podcast,
we'll do
the fact that Dennis isn't pissed?
And then Dennis can come in
tonight
when his fails are ready.
No, I've got something written down. You're asking me the wrong thing. I'm out of sequence tonight. I was going to mention King about... I'm going to say something now about King. Yeah. Great players often, when they make a mistake, usually make up for it within the same match. And bearing in mind that some players are often looked towards in terms of having to create something under pressure, King's had that responsibility, I think, and it showed in this game. And I think, actually, you know what? He is becoming possibly a great player. You know, I was looking back at Kings and I thought, oh, you know, there's some famous Kings. And one of the Kings was famous for restoring prosperity. And I think that is the case. Whenever we get in a difficult situation, it's a kick to Toby King and he actually delivers. And, you know, whichever match it's been in, that's what he's always done. So I can only compare him to Canute the Great, 1016 to 1035, the restorer of prosperity.
Right. So what does that make Charnley not running back and sort of stopping James Maloney missing the angle? Sam, did you see that?
I agree that Charnley is not in the best of form. But for me, it was down to King, that try. And actually, I was so surprised that he's such a solid and reliable player. I was so surprised that he made that cock-up. Because it wasn't even close to Curry, was it, the pass?
No. So
yeah, maybe Charnley should be doing that bit of extra to keep him out wide, but the fault of the try lay in a daft pass.
Dennis, would you play Charnley next week based on that? I know I keep coming back to Charnley, but I can't remember seeing a rugby league player showing so little interest in trying to stop the angle of the kick. He just jogged back, and then it was Jason Clark who came running across to sort of wait, whoa, hang on, I'll stop that. Just didn't make an effort at all.
You know what, there's one thing not being in form, and you know, you can usually judge someone like Charnley by how many tries he's scoring and stuff. But there's another thing for, like, you know, the defensive effort. And you know what, to just chase back and keep the player out to the wing, you know, keep a kick out, that was poor. That was really poor. And I'd drop him because, you know, a couple of weeks out, let him get himself in a position where he plays him back into the team. And you look at, you know, Thewlis and Mamo, you know, they're exceptional, really.
Yeah, we'll come on to the team then for next week towards the end of the cast. But, yeah, questions certainly need to be asked there. 32nd minute, a beautiful scoop from a world-class hooker in Darryl Clark from the play of the ball. Curry in support and has too much pace for Tom Davis to catch him. Ratchford converts easily and it's 8-6 to Catalans. Hey, I tell you, how many posters have you got up on your wall this week, Sam? My goodness.
Well, the one thing I did think about this try, particularly when I saw it later, you have questioned whether Curry still has any pace.
And here we go. He's protecting his poster boy. Here we go.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, the try was made by a brilliant break from Darryl Clark, but who was right up there to take the supporting pass?
Josh Thewlis.
No. And not be caught by the Catalan winger, Davis. So I think that's answered the questions. He might not be lightning off the mark.
No, it's
once
not.
Once he gets going, he's plenty quick enough. And it was a try right at the time we needed it, wasn't it? We were 8-0 down in a tough place to be. And that just changed the whole complex of the game.
Right. So has anybody clocked the speed Like, you know, when we were doing it on Clark last year, and they were clocking the speed, weren't they, from like zero over 40 metres or whatever. Anybody, have you got the stats on the speed?
I doubt it, but I'm sure Super League will make that up and say he ran it in about 9.5. Just as Danny Houghton made 7,000 tackles for Hull this week, wasn't it, or someone?
Excellent, yeah.
We need to go back and have a look at that and count it up, because I can guarantee it'll be 10 out. But yes, anyway, no, brilliant. I agree, Sam. I think you've hit the nail on the head. When he gets going, he's away, and it was a fantastic try. 38th minute gets even better for Warrington as Wyatt take the lead. This time, Wyatt unusually go right, and Mamo manages to squeeze a ball out in the tackle to Widdup. Widdup kicks quite flatly across to the left for the brilliant, as Dennis has just mentioned before, the King, Toby King, to catch and score. Ratchford slots over the extra two, and we go in at the break 12-8. You've said it already, Dennis. Toby King, just eager to get that ball. When that ball was kicked across field, he's the only one who wants it.
Well, he's becoming Mr. Reliable on that, isn't he? I mean, he's been like that for the past couple of years. So, you know, a bit of broken play. But, you know, you can't rule out Mamo's contribution at this stage. And we haven't even got to his best highlight. But, you know, even then, he was running at quite a bit of pace, went into the line and still managed to turn around and offload the ball. So, yeah. All credit to Mamo.
Yeah, brilliant try. Okay, half-time. I wasn't in shock because I predicted the Catalans win, as to a Dennis. But Sam, at this stage, I mean, what were you thinking, mate? Did you think we were home and dry?
No, I didn't. But I wrote down at half-time, we're still not great going forward, but the defence and the effort was outstanding. And that when he came on the pitch, Mulhern had been good so far. A bit more about him later.
Yeah, I want to sort of touch on a few of those points at the end as we sort of conclude this. But second half, straight away, 41st minute, Catalans on the Warrington's try line. Sam Tompkins throws the ball wide on the Dragons' left edge. And there's Marmo Mike to intercept and run the length of the pitch. Ratchford nails the kick out wide and we're 18-8 up. What a player. He has got to be our form player, Dennis. I mean, we've been wanting him to get in the team for quite a while. Doesn't put a foot wrong, does he? Doesn't put a foot wrong.
Maybe he was responding to my suggestion that he should be captain, you know, and he played an absolute blinder this week. But I'd actually put the barbecue on at this point. And so I was watching it outside this week, just to clarify that. Because some friends did turn up later, again, as it happens. So the fire was only just going, sausages were on, and the burgers were on, and also I had some kebabs as well, which were cooking nicely, as were Warrington at this time.
Oh. Can you stop saying, as it happens? Because every time you do it, I think Jimmy Savile's joined us.
Now then. Oh, no, I can't do that.
Oh, Jesus Christ, keep away from that one. 65th minute, the Wolves put the game to bed. A messy last play sees Ratchford punt a ball nowhere in particular. Curry cleverly palms it back to find Widdup with an overlap. He has Charlie and King in support, but patiently buys his time to leave Tompkins on his arse, and Widdup scores. Ratchford makes it 4 from 4, 100%. Final score, Catalans 8, Wyatt 24. Boom! I'm saying, Sam, that that's our best performance since Wembley.
Wow, that is a big statement, isn't it? But it certainly was.
No, it's just we've not had many good performances.
Oh, yeah, but it certainly was an excellent... I think for a couple of reasons. One, whatever the editing at the start of this podcast was, it was an unexpected display. Not because we did a bit of this or did that, but we put everything together for a full 80 minutes. Still not quite right going forward, but every time we got a chance, we took it, and we beat a team that was in form and much fancied in their own backyard.
I don't know about in form.
You say that. We had a message from Dave Birch over at Warrington Hospital Radio. He just wrote, "How shit are Catalans?"
Oh, that's his catchphrase now, is it? Is that it? How shit is everything with Dave? I have to say, though, Catalan, just looking at them, you know, and doing the math, I really do think that they made very good yards forward in the forwards. I thought they were, like, you know, big lads. And the defence at times was very good, but they just lacked creativity. And I didn't think, really, from what I've seen of Catalan, that they were playing at the best. I don't know about them being in form. Not entirely sure.
Well, interestingly, Dennis, they ran for more metres than Warrington and had 20 more carries than us. But they also made more tackles. We made them miss more.
Mm. They have got that one move, though, haven't they? And that comes over to Tompkins. They have a couple of runarounds. Matt Banana's worked on that, and that's his move. I've got a few notes here. Mulhern played well. I'm impressed with Mulhern, Sam. So if you want to get another frame, I think we need to put a picture up of Mulhern.
Well, you get a bit more of him. You'll get a bit more of him in 10 minutes' Ooh. Time.
Excellent. Hill, far better without the captaincy. No question about it, I think, isn't he? Just a different player this year. Catalan's kept kicking to King's side. That wasn't brilliant tactics by Mac Banana, was it? About three occasions in the first 10 minutes, they punted across to the right-hand side of the Catalan's attack, and King just went, thank you very much. I'll have that again. Thank you very much. We're better on the right-hand side defensively without Austin. Is that a tick? We all agree?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Ratchford made 31 tackles and just one miss.
Wow. Wow. How many times did he flail his arms, point to his players either side of him and run backwards?
That's just communication.
Is it now he's playing there? Would you not suggest that that was a better place for him to play rather than fullback?
For the team, yes. Yeah.
That's all we're supporting. We're not supporting individuals. We're all about team.
Yeah. Still need to improve close to the try line is another thing I wrote down. We're scoring a lot of tries in broken play, but in that last 20, it's just not happening. We spoke about this last year in the fact that Melbourne, you know, such an entertaining side, and you think, wow, they're scoring all these tries from all over the park. But as we showed on their stats, most of them are coming close to the try line still. We don't seem to have much of a clue near the try line, Dennis. We're almost better to get the ball 60 metres out.
I don't think the narrative is going to change on this, is it? You know, I think we'll always put that down to the tic-tacs, tactical tic-tacs of Steve Price. I don't know what you think, Sam.
More of that to come in the statistics section.
Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be a crammed statistical section,
you know,
this
what?
Week,
we're so organised this week.
Isn't
Everybody's
it?
Got their own little bits ready
Brilliant.
To go.
Have I mentioned my netball win?
Yeah, but we're not interested. Carry on.
I've also got the Blake Austin passport issue, which we've kind of spoken about. And then also our two new players that we've discovered in Josh Schoolis, according to Sky, and some bloke called Greg Austin, who wasn't available. So God knows what's going on there. We did go to the vote to see if we should re-sign Blake Austin in 2022. We had 294 votes. Re-sign, 39.1%, let go, 60.9%. We all spoke about this on the podcast last week, and I cruelly just said, let's have no caveats, it's just a yes or a no. If it looks like we might be signing a young man from Castleford to come in at six, possibly Blake Austin will go out. He will have to get that passport ready to return back to Oz. I think we're all at the stage, aren't we, now, where it's now or never for Flaky Break, Dennis, now or never.
What can you say? I mean,
well, say something, because this is a bloody podcast.
Well, you know, we've done all the bloody analogies, haven't we? We started off with him as, like, you know, the $6 million man, Steve Austin. You know, we've gone through all, like, the Austin cars, you know, and we did all those things. And then we've ended up describing how a fucking flake doesn't melt. I mean, Jesus Christ, I've got one more fails to go. For me, he's out.
I think if I'm allowed that caveat rather than the one word answer, it's value for money, isn't it? When he does occasionally, he does something brilliant, but
is it value for money?
But well, I'm saying he occasionally does some brilliant things, but we want more than that from a marquee player, and for me, he's not living up to marquee standard.
Says the man who did a 5-minute video on melting a flake and sent it to us on WhatsApp.
I was bored that day, did you notice? That was a scientific experiment.
It was brilliant, we should release it.
Okay, everyone, Brace yourselves. She's back.
Hello, this is you on the control tower. Do you want number 77?
Madam Boyd speaking.
Oh, hi, Madam Boyd. It's Dennis.
Dennis?
Yeah, Dennis Waywell. You've not forgotten me, have you?
Dennis Waywell. Never heard that before.
The podcast. The podcast, Madam Boyd.
Podcast?
Yeah, you know, what would Brian Bevan say?
Dennis! Oh, yes. Are you still recording with your two fuckwits?
Oh, yeah. Rob London and Sam Sankey send their love as well.
Oh, that's excellent, duh.
So, what have you been up to, Madam Boyd? It's been a long time.
Well, I've been hacked, duh. I've had my firewall penetrated.
Oh, dear. That sounds painful.
Indeed, duh. But Carl and I managed to fix it with a few tools. Isn't that right, Carl?
Yeah, it's, she had a vibrator in the
Let's not bore Dennis with the details, duh.
Mr. Fitzpatrick in a chip shop. Christ, how's that working out?
Slightly tedious, dear, but he's excellent at peeling potatoes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Probably talks his skin off. Anyway, Madam Boyd, do you have a prediction for us?
Carl, dear, Carl, would you please fetch my balls?
Oh, he's multitasking.
Yes, but he still struggles with the idea of the extraction method.
Oh, fucking hell.
There you go, dear. Nothing to be afraid of. Yes, let me see. Ooh, oh dear, fills and tills with the dressing room I see this season.
Oh, Jesus.
Descent in the ranks and opposition talk. One of the coaches takes an early walk.
Oh, God, what does that mean?
I would say a premature ejection, dear.
Oh, dear, have you got any idea when this will be?
Indeed, it's hard to say, dear. What would you say, Carl?
Don't ejaculate or anything for at least 6 weeks.
All right, okay, so we give him 6 more weeks. All right, thanks, Madam Boyd.
You're welcome, dear. Now, Carl, have you done everything? Yes, you've done this. Oh, you've done the potatoes. Great. What else have you done?
Put the internet on, out of wine.
Oh, great.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
What do we make of this, Dennis? A coach to set to depart before the end of the season?
Well, let's just break this down. Let's just go through this. Firstly, she mentioned her firewall. That was in relation to Twitter. Her account was hacked and Shane Warne got mentioned. So that was the first thing.
Have we managed to get that back under control? Have we managed to get the password back?
I believe so, yes. We've managed to reset that.
Because we didn't half get some abuse.
Oh, Christ, yeah. Well, always listen to Madam Boyd is what I'd say. Cal Fitzpatrick's there. I mean, we've not heard from him recently, so he's obviously got himself quite busy. And as you say, Rob, about the coaching staff, well, you know, fears and tears. I think that rhymes with brays myself, you know, just speculating out there. But I think basically what she's saying is that, you know, the coaching staff are all going now, and actually one of them at least will be going before the end of the season. So, you know, that's what she's alluding to. What do you reckon, Sam?
I am in the position of just having to listen to Madam Boyd. I know nothing, so I just have to see if she's right.
Rob?
Well, we'll come on to this in a little bit in the next section.
Are you prepared as well?
Yeah, we're cramming everything towards the end. Like nothing's happening at the start of this podcast, but the substance as you move into that last 10 minutes is going to be unbelievable.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Okay, yes, well, two things this week, as I've intimated when we were looking at the match.
Ooh.
Initially, I wanted to look at what is potentially a problem solved. Have we found our fourth prop? It's only four games in, but Rob Mulhern has started exceptionally well. And to illustrate this, I've looked at his four games so far this year and compared them to our fourth prop in 2020. So in 2020, looking back, slightly subjective, but we had Sitalecki play against Wigan, against St Helens, against Wakefield. Then he was dropped, and the fourth game, Lewis Johnson came in to play that fourth prop role. Between them two, in those four games, they just made 43 tackles. Rob Mulhern, in his first four games, 90 tackles, over twice as many. Also, the missed tackles between those four were two. Mulhern missed just three, although he's made more. And Rob Mulhern has ran for 405 metres compared to Johnson and Sitalecki, 209. So Mulhern is doing twice the work that our fourth prop used to do, and his numbers are up there on a par, possibly even slightly better, than Joe Philbin. I've also looked at, as you've already mentioned, Rob, Hill. I think Hill has started the season outstanding. He's made more metres than any of our props. He's made more tackles than any of our props. He's scored a try. He's made six tackle busts, which is more than I can remember him doing for a long time, and seven offloads. Now, that compares very, very favourably with what you might consider the two form props of the whole competition, Fifita and Wormsley. Wormsley's made a few more metres, but from significantly more carries. Neither has made as many tackles as Hill. Both of them have missed more tackles, and the only place they improve on Chris Hill is in the number of tackles they break, because Fifita and Wormsley are scuttling the men left, right and centre. So that would be the only part of his game that Chris Hill isn't right at the very top. But you could argue he's never quite been that type of player. He's more a guy who puts it in consistently week after week.
Can I just interject here? Because at the start of that, you mentioned the word intimated, which is past tense of intimate, which means putting a group or species together and mating them. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to breed a new style of intimated prop.
Maybe we should breed him and Cooper together, and we can get the guy who does the consistent minutes and the consistent yards with the guy who provides a few offloads and a bit of passing. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, well, if anyone wants to intimate two props together, answers on a postcard to P.O. Box What Bevan.
Yes. Now, the next thing I wanted to bring up briefly...
Sam, you sent this through. I really like it. And the reason being is it's graphical. I'm a big fan of graphics. I love it.
But this is not a pictorial.
How are we going to get that out there? Should we put it up? I put it on Facebook, but no one can read. But can we get it on Twitter, possibly?
I'll see if I can make it into a nice little graph. We've scored 23 tries so far this year, including the Swinton game. And I looked at where we played the ball last before we scored. So we played the ball inside the attacking 20 metres.
Are you working at the moment?
Seven times and scored. We played the ball between the 20 and the 40 eight times and scored. And we played the ball from further than 40 metres out eight times. So we've scored more tries from 40 metres or further away from the line than we have from inside the 20. 30% of our tries come from inside the 20 and 70 from outside.
Did someone mention this at the start of the podcast?
I think we were on this last year as well. But we're scoring long-range tries. If we can just add
play at the 40-metre line.
Two or three set plays close to the line to make us dangerous, God, we'd be a good team.
Now, Sam, I was so excited by these stats. They came through and I nearly fell off my chair, because the way I'm reading it is we have only scored three tries down our right-hand side this year.
Yes,
and all three tries have come from Jake Mamo.
Correct.
He's the only person on the Warrington team to score down the right-hand side. Wow. Can you believe three tries all year, all scored by Jake Mamo.
And he's only in the team because someone's out. Isn't it, really?
Wow. We need to put that graph up, mate. We need to get that visual graph up just to show people what we mean by this, because clearly you speaking it doesn't come across as the same.
Thanks.
Jodrell Bank apologises that it made a mistake in thinking it had discovered a new planet. It turned out their radio telescope had picked up Professor Broomhead coming out of lockdown. Greg Inglis is on the verge of playing for The Wire, according to Steve Price. Price is quoted as saying, Greg is between a week, a fortnight, a month, a year, or 10 light-years away from making his debut. And Rolex have turned down an offer by Super League to become their official timepiece, following the clusterfuck Golden Point debacle at the KCOM Stadium. It is understood Super League will now seek sponsorship from either a shitty old sundial or a broken egg timer.
Right, it's onto the news stories, and we'll go back to where we were before. Lee Breers will leave Warrington at the end of the year, following 24 years, yes, 24 years with the club. Breers signed from Saints in 1997. He played up until 2013. He's been on the coaching staff at Wire ever since. He's not the only one to leave. Andrew Henderson will join the club in 2017 at the same time of Price. He too will leave at the end of the season, as will statsman Jack Phillips.
That's because I've got the job.
I was going to say that. Have you got the job? Have you?
That's where I've got this software to do these graphs. This was part of my presentation.
We should point out that we did mention that the Castleford Statsman had moved to Warrington a few weeks ago, and a few people scoffed at that. So it's all coming together, Dennis. The clear out has started.
Indeed.
You're supposed to say some nice, kind words about Lee Breers then, not just indeed.
Oh, right.
Ah, dear. Well, we had him on the podcast. What a lovely bloke. I mean, he's just full of beans. He was great off air as much as he was when we actually were recording. But I think there comes a time in anyone's career where you need to change, don't you? And I think the change will be just as good for Lee as it will be for everyone else, really. I think we wish him the best, and I hope he really manages to get something together. Although, seeing who Castleford have just signed as their coach, I bet they're ecstatic over at Castleford at the moment with that signing.
but before we leave Lee Breers, I've known Lee for many years, got to know him quite well during his testimonial year. And the word legend is bandied around too long, but in modern day Super League and modern day rugby league, he is a Warrington legend. I don't think it's necessarily the end of his time at Warrington. He could well come back. Cullen came back after going away. John Clark came back after going away. Breers might be back in some way, but I do agree with you. It will probably benefit him to see life elsewhere as well.
Hmm. I feel the same way about legends. I miss it dreadfully.
I preferred the Friday night than the Saturday. I went deaf on the Saturday night in Legends.
Mm. What?
Sorry?
Mm.
Right. Well, we should sort of... I'm going to run with a little bit of a caveat here. This vote went out prior to the Catalans game. The vote was, and we tried to sort of intimate the Lee Breers and Andrew Henderson as well. It was, which Warrington coach would you like to see take... Which Warrington coach would you like to see take charge for the remainder of the 2021 season? The final vote was 10.1% Steve Price, 44.6% Lee Breers, and 45.3% Andrew Henderson. Do you think this has saved Price time, Dennis, or do you think we all got it wrong?
Yeah, no, this isn't really the time to save Price, is it?
You know what you're like, Dennis? I was speaking to one of the lads in my team this week, and I said to him, you seem a little bit aloof on the Zoom calls when we're having workshops. And he said, I'm not listening. He said, and then if anyone actually asks me a question directly, I always say, could you just repeat that, please? And that's a bit like you tonight, isn't it? You're not listening. you're miles away.
I was writing down intimate, and then you mentioned Steve Price, and I was wondering how we could intimate him with, and I was thinking, would he be intimating with anybody in Australia? I don't think so. So, is that, what was your question? Could you repeat that?
Oh, forget it. Let's move on. Ellis Robson has gone out on loan to Widnes.
And now over to our nautical sitcom, Mutiny on the HJ. Certainly when it comes to entertainment, I think it's safe to say the tide of laughter has well and truly gone out. I haven't been to the seaside in years, but as a young lady one would often venture there to go crabbing. One expects the demographic of listeners that tune into this rubbish on their sad little chavvy 2-week package deals have caught crabs on their seaside adventures.
Oh, Stevie, darling, what's wrong? Since Jiffy pulled you off in his tugboat, I've never seen your cannonballs looking so deflated.
Oh, gee, Ralphie, I'm all lost at sea. I think I've mislaid my navigational intensity.
Nonsense, Stevie. We're somewhere off the French coast. Once we've had a stop in Crapperland, we'll get First Mate Widdop steering the ship and we'll be back sailing in the right direction in no time.
Are you sure he's not heading south, Rolfo?
Don't be daft, Stevie. Oh, talking of which, is there any update on the Marquis of Inglis seasickness? I saw him wrenching over the side again.
Yeah, I've not got a dingo's dick idea when he threw our young centre overboard.
And has Merchant Steward Butler served up Commodore Fitzpatrick's breakfast? I'm a bit worried about him, Stevie. He hasn't come out of his quarters for over a month now.
Oh, I think he feels a long way from home, Rolfie. He is from Wigan, don't forget. He felt cast adrift once we ventured his marketing sea legs south of Lee.
Oh, talking of Lee, Stevie, I feel like a shit off the bow of the ship. And did you know those French piranhas lap everything up in the water? Last night, there was one thick, scaly-looking, ugly gill, eyes too close together minnow, that ate one of Officer Pugwash Philbin's huge floating turds.
Nah, Rolfie. That wasn't a little fishy. That was Sam Tompkins out having a paddle.
Oh, look. There's a boat on the horizon. If I'm not mistaken, it seems to be heading our way. Quick, Stevie, take a look through your antique Harry Grayson engraved telescope.
Oh, I can't see a bloody thing, Rolfie. It's all too dark.
Take the lens cap off, Stevie.
Oh, sorry, Rolfie. Nah, we're all sweet. It's nothing to worry about. It's just a porpoise washing his bell end in the swell.
Oh, wait a minute, Stevie. That's a customs boat. And that's not a porpoise. It's custom lady officer Field Clerk Clark in his polo neck sweater.
Oh, struth, Ralpho. He's heading our way on his continental drift.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Oh, should we send for Commodore Fitzpatrick, Rolfie? We all know our cargo's celery crept. Oh, and Flaky Blake doesn't even have a passport.
Oh, yes, that's a good idea, Captain Stevie. Have second deck second-hand Henderson fetch him immediately. Tell him to meet us on the poop deck.
Aye, aye, Rolfie.
Hey, Endo, go and fetch Commodore Fitzpatrick. Admiral Rolfie requests his presence on the shitter.
No worries, Captain Price.
Now remember, Stevie, don't mention the cargo. Not only is it celery crapped, but you've totally underutilised it. So let Commodore Fitzpatrick do all the talking. He's got the gift of the drab.
Oh, struth, Rolfie. He's pulling alongside. He's going to reach out on his megaphone. Oh, didn't see this coming.
I was like, yeah, come on, let's get it out of the way.
Oh, nothing I can think of, Customs Officer de Clark Clerk. Captain Stevie has not obtained any silverware that I'm aware of, and the only thing to declare is our player's crew.
What about that last shipment over there?
Well, that's no way to talk about Stevie.
You seem to have a very large crew on this salary crap.
Oh, dear. What shall I say, Commodore Fitzpatrick? I think Lady Officer de Clerk Clark is on to us. After all, everybody knows you've been fingering the Sally cap for years.
Give her any old shit.
Oh, right you are, Commodore. Yes, yes, yes. We're all above board and shipshape, Mr. Clerk de Clark.
Legally, Matt, I add, it's not like some kind of thing where he's trying to burrow his way out.
Right, Captain Stevie, go and grab the Super League accounts for 2020. They're that soiled in Nelson's shite, he won't be able to make any sense of our salary crap.
Here you go, Mr. Clerk. Catch this.
Well, that was a close shave. It's a good job that Customs Officer Clark de Clerk was completely delusional and useless at analysis.
Oh, I know what you mean, Rolfie. His opinion on Hull KR was way off the mark.
Yes, but at least Captain Tony does have a hoard of silverware, Stevie.
And I'm all about being sensible when you're out and about. If everyone kind of told the line with that, you know, we probably might not be in as bad a situation as we're in now.
Indeed, Commodore Fitzpatrick. I think it's time for the plank.
Oh, do you mean me, Rolfie? Oh, please no, please no. Just give me 10 more games. 10 more games!
Phil Clark de Clerk. Now, you were very impressed last week, Sam, leading into the Oscars. How did you find this one?
Well, I feel I'm back to normal this week. I'm beginning to think that this is being written by Jed Mercurio, as I've not got a bloody line of duty, as I've not got a bloody clue what's going on this week. I was expecting at any moment Aidan Dunbar to pop up and say, "Mother of God," or something like that. And is Commodore Fitz being played by Paddy McGuinness?
No, Commodore Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Dennis has worked tirelessly on that impersonation, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, it took me ages to do that. I don't do many impersonations, but that's my best one.
It was Jonathan Davis last week, Paddy McGuinness this. I'm just wondering who it is next week.
Who's he?
It's time now for Fails or the Unexpected.
A wise man believes only in lies, trusts only in the absurd, and learns to expect the unexpected.
I personally think this story is funny. But if your sense of humour doesn't happen to be the same as mine, then I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disturbed by what goes on.
Right, OK. Thanks to Dave Munro for suggesting a few fails this week. He mentioned he wanted Sam Tompkins as the fails this week after his pass out to Mamo. But probably better than his original fails, which was something to do with me having... watching a match with somebody indoors. But that would happen to be my landlord, so I'll just clarify that for everybody at home. So he'd come in round and he just happened to...
Get on with it!
Fails this week. Well, I'm going to look at the Flake Austin. He's managed to be in there again. This week saw the Warrington team travel to Catalan, as we've mentioned, without their marquee player, Flake Austin. Yes, this was the week that Steve Price decided to drop the Flake, or did he? Well, insiders have speculated that their flaky passport was at fault, and in order to avoid the embarrassment of being tracked away or even worse, getting stuck at the airport, there was a terminal flake-off. And
can I just say at this point that I'm sick and tired of people who've contacted me to say, he needs to get down to Liverpool passport office. No, he doesn't, because he's Australian. He has to get his passport renewed in Canberra.
I'm coming to that. You're going to like the next bit. Just to reiterate the terminal and being stuck there, I did have a quick look into that. That was actually a true story. Maram Karami Nasiri, who was forced to stay in
Charles de Gaulle. That's an easier way of saying it, isn't it?
Yeah. Tom Hanks was stuck in Charles de Gaulle Airport for 18 years.
Charles what? Which airport?
Charles de Gaulle. Works as a janitor. A lawyer took his case on. Took him about 10 years to prove that he had a letter to enter the country. However, he'd been there that long. He got a bit paranoid and convinced himself that it was all fake and everything, and he was going to spend the rest of his life there. That was until eventually, in 2016, authorities kicked him out and sent him to a mental institute. But that's irrelevant.
Do you know what? That actually does happen. It does actually happen that if passport has expired and you hit that gate. Yeah. They just wave you away. You're just left in limbo in that little bit on the other side. My boss, he went to Singapore with his two kids and one of their passports had had expired and he just waved them away. And they were there for over 4 hours on the other side just going, well, what do we do? There was a phone. And then in the end, one of the boys went, let's just try one of the other passport queues. And they walked through straight away.
But you're not suggesting that's what we do with Flake Austin, is it? Are you?
No, not at
all. Right. Okay, so here's some passport facts for you. You cannot use a valid passport to travel in any foreign country if it expires within 3 to 6 months. And I think that's a well-known thing, isn't it?
Not true. I travelled back to the UK only last year on a passport that had 3 weeks on it.
Okay.
Can I also say you can actually travel from Australia to the UK if you go via Hong Kong without a passport? As a British citizen, when you get home, they have to let you in.
And also, if you are an Australian citizen and your passport is lost or stolen, you can visit the Canadian consul for a temporary passport.
Mm.
So there's another one for you. Third one, every year, several thousand people spend a collective $2 billion to add a second or a third passport to their collection, just in case they have an issue with the passport.
That's me at the moment.
A fourth point, the last man to cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope was required to submit his passport when he reached to the other side. Passport, even, when he reached the other side. Thinking ahead, you see, even if he was walking a tightrope.
This has got to be the shittest fails you've expected.
Hang on. And then the fifth point, in the UK, your horse must have a horse passport. Among other things, it states whether your animal can be used for the food at the end of its life. If you don't make the decision on the passport, it's assumed the animal is intended for human consumption at the end of its life. And Sky did say, we will be looking and reviewing Barry and Terry's passports at the end of the season. Moving on, the unexpected this week, we're looking at retirement. And, this is the week where we've seen two news stories relating to coming out of retirement. Firstly, our very own Greg Austin is coming out of retirement and potentially making his Warrington debut this
alongside Skoulis.
Yes. And secondly, Sam Burgess, who is also hinting at a return following a few calls from the NRL. And before he even says it, I have to say, Rob did say this last year. So this is almost inevitable that it's come out. And
is it to pay some court fees, is it, do you think? Some legal fees?
You're on shaky ground there, Sam. Shaky ground.
This is what I wanted to look at. So can you think of any other people who've come back out of retirement? Any rugby league people? Have you got any?
I was going to say Frank Sinatra.
Well, trying to stick to the rugby league theme, Sam.
We never usually do.
Well, kind of. Okay. I don't know who else has come out of retirement.
Jamie Peacock,
did he?
Yes, came out for Hull KR in 2016 at 38 years old.
Right, but that went well.
Yeah, Jamie Foster's still knocking about. He's only 27 years old. Came out for at the time for Workington 2017. Alan Langer,
isn't it dangerous to come out in Workington?
Yeah. That's a good point. Anyone remember Alan Langer?
Alfie Langer, he
came out of retirement.
Who for?
Warrington, as it happened. Do you remember? Yeah. Craig Teitzel, 30 years old, 1993. Unsure whether he actually came out of retirement during his time at Warrington. That's the only thing there. Anyway, a couple of other famous people, just along the lines. Stuart Pearce came out of retirement to manage Longford AFC. Not Longford in Warrington, but another one. And Rick Astley as well, a bit of a Warrington connection there. He came
never
out
give
retirement.
It up.
Very good. So it's not a surprise that and unexpected that a few high-profile players decide to make a comeback and out of retirement and play one of the hardest games in the world. Well, what is the motivation? Well, usually it's money. Now, looking at some sporting icons who have gone on to make a living outside of their sport, Michael Jordan made $1.2 billion with trainers, with Nike and so on. George Foreman made $233 million out of a grill. And Jack Nicklaus, $894 million designing golf courses. So it's certainly possible. Now, clearly creating a USP outside... We've got a long way to go yet. Did you know...
We'll be in retirement by the time this is finished.
Did you know that Sam Burgess also has started a company with his brothers in Australia? It's called 4B, a clothing company, focusing on contemporary fits and fine details. Cotton, white and linen colours. I had a look at one of them. It was a muscle tank, it's called. It's called, in this country we call it a wife beater, but I don't think there's any connection there. And its selling point, will cover you from beach to bar. I'm not entirely sure if that's possible in Blackpool, but
a legal bar.
Probably a what bar?
A legal bar.
Oh, I don't know. Now, I'm not sure the Burgess brothers are quite making enough to live in.
Can I just say something at this stage? When you the amount of research that Dennis does into this, you think, oh, he's really delved into this. And then if you just type into Google, which sports stars came out of retirement? The very first one that comes up is the article that he's reading now. He can't even be bothered scrolling to the second page.
No, it's not.
I've got it here.
Not.
George Foreman, Grill, Arnold Palmer. It's all here. Why don't you mention him as well?
No, I don't want Arnold Palmer. How dare you? Anyway, they want to look no further than the rugby... So anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that if they want to earn as much money and make a living, they need to look no further than the legend and entrepreneur who has cornered the market in food. Look no further than Ben Westwood.
Stop saying look no further and just fucking tell us who it is.
I'm intimating. Since opening the mobile food emporium, he's grown his business, introducing the Baguettes range and featuring in the 1876 restaurant last year, recently going into business with Professor Broomhead and releasing their new innovation, the Butter Stick. The Ben and Steve's Butter Stick is an integrated tube where butter... What's up? Where butter can be dispensed like a Pritt stick.
Butter, right. It's not butter.
Yeah, but there you go.
Get it together, Dennis. Get it together. Breathe.
Enabling the butter to be evenly distributed on toast and baps. Now, Professor Broomhead at the press launch said, "I'm looking forward to spreading the word about this new venture," before clarifying, "Although it's a saturated market, I'm confident Ben and I will soon be churning out the product." Right. Following a question from the What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast, Professor Broomhead refused to respond, saying, I refuse to be the butter of your jokes. He immediately left through a side entrance where he was eased out with four packs of Lurpak.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Oh, dear. Okay, two games to review before our next recording. The most entertaining team in world sport, Hull KR at home in Super League, and then yet again, it's Catalans, this time in the Challenge Cup quarter-final at Headingley. I thought Hull KR was on Sky Boys, but it's not. So it looks like it's a little bit of firewall going on there for you, Dennis.
But when is it?
It's on Saturday night my time at 10 p.m. It's 1 p.m. in the afternoon for you over in the UK.
So, are you watching it, Sam?
Probably.
Oh dear. Okay.
Are you watching it, Rob?
Well, you know, I can't get it. I mean, there's no way of breaking the Our League firewall app. So, no, I won't be watching it. No, not a chance.
Will you be staying up?
Yeah, probably. Okay, so let's get our predictions on that one. Sam, first of all, I mean, where are we going with this now after this brilliant performance in France and you know, Blake Austin back not having to use his passport at home? How do you think this one will go, and what team will also line up?
Well, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm quite excited to see if Greg Austin makes his debut. Greg Austin, as he will be known for the next however many months by the sounds of it, just like Shane Warne.
Not even mention Paul Shane yet, our new Heidi High hooker.
Personally, if Greg Inglis is playing, I would suspect that he will play at right centre and Jake will move to the wing and Josh will be dropped. That's how I think he'll go.
Josh Charnley or Josh Thewlis?
Thewlis. Oh, yes. That's how I think he will go. Remains to be seen how he actually does go. But I'm excited to see that. I just hope that against the most entertaining team in rugby league...
World Sport.
Yes, they have been promoted. I hope we play the game with the same intensity. That's what I'm looking for. If we do play with the same intensity, the same defence, we'll win quite comfortably.
Okay. Dennis? How do you think they'll go, and what team would you put together for Hull KR?
I'm in total agreement. I think, you know, Jake Mamo's earned his place in the side here, being that he's the only player who's scored three tries on the Rattan side all season. I think Skulis also deserves his place after watching him the past couple of weeks. I think, you know, for the first time we've seen a young player, if you want to call him, or a fringe player, come into the side and actually get a bit of time and actually, you know, fit into the squad. I would drop Jake Charnley. Oh God, it's going to be hard. In response to that, and yeah, keep the rest of the side, I suppose, and maybe have an intimated bench of forwards to help with that.
An orgy on the bench. Yeah. So you're going for a Warrington win, mate? You're going for a Warrington
win? Yes, I'm going for a Warrington win.
Yes.
Come on, Rob. Okay. What about you?
Sorry, Rob, just before you do, it would be interesting to see if Flakey comes back onto the bench, perhaps, and he plays one less forward.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm in a line. I mean, Dennis, we were in a line last week in terms of the prediction, but we both got right. So I'm the same with you this week. I think we will beat Hull KR. think it'll be closer than what everyone thinks. But I would do the same. It's a pity that Thulis is over on that right-hand side last week, because I think had the wingers been the other way around last week, I would definitely drop Charnley. So, but I'm with you. I think I've seen enough of Charnley over the last few weeks to say something's not right and we need competition for places. And I would put Thulis possibly on the other wing. Mm. And if Greg Austin plays a whole game, he might come off the bench. I don't know where they're at with him, but no, I'm for the same team as last week. Greg Austin in and move Charnley out of the side and put Thulis in. The second game is Catalans in that quarter final at Headingley. Do you think they'll get their revenge, Sam?
I think this is a very hard one to call. Do we take huge confidence from last week? Yes, we will. Will they want the revenge, as you just said? Yes, they will. It'll be a close game. Listen, I got it wrong last week. We all did. One of us even said it would be catastrophic for the team, didn't they, Mr. London? But I'll go with a close Warrington win.
How about you, Rob?
I've been watching Warrington for over 40 years, and boy, have they let me down more than once. And I always think, to use sort of an analogy here, that Warrington's a bit like an old girlfriend that you keep going back to. You think they've changed. You know, you say to her, you know, if you're going to move in again, you've got to stop shitting on the kitchen units. And, you know, you forgive her, and then you move in, and then you wake up, and all of a sudden you find she's taking the scissors to your bollocks. And I just think it's a little bit like that. How many times can I forgive Warrington thinking this is a new, fresh start? So I think we'll win, but I still think papering over the cracks a little bit. How's your crack, Dennis?
Well, it's probably going to be a bit wide at that point because I'll be just talking
shit. Use some of that butter.
Some of that butter. Oh, God, I'm echoing. I think what will probably happen is that we'll probably come back to this podcast after that Catalan match and we'll all be going, when the fucking hell's Price going back home?
Apparently this podcast was all going to become, to, you know, a massive climax this week. We were going to be brilliant over the last third of the podcast, but I've not seen it. If anything, we've flailed away.
Flailed.
We've flailed at the unexpected flake.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back here on Wednesday, the 12th of May. So with wire fixtures coming thick and fast and Stephen Price back on track after a precarious start, it's a podcasting tightrope balancing act. Bye-bye from Sam.
All the best.
He dodged a bullet by the skin of his teeth. Ta-ra from Dennis.
For seeing you.
I'm Rob London, and just like Mr. Price, if I fell in a bucket of shit, I'd come out smelling of roses. Primrose ones, of course. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Put you down for a butter stick.
Oh, yes, please.
What day are we recording our alternative predictions, by the way?
Can't believe it's not butter. Can't believe it's not better. Can't believe it's not better.